When Native Americans ceded their lands during the treaty era, much of it was forest. Today, many tribes, including those in Oregon, are not only working to regain some of those forests, they're getting national recognition for their sustainable management practices. KLCC's Brian Bull reports.
Just over a year ago, President Trump signed the Western Oregon Tribal Fairness Act. It restored roughly 18,000 acres of federal land to the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians and 15,000 acres to the Confederated Tribes of Coos, Lur, Umpqua, and Siuslaw Indians. The act gave both tribes a land base for the first time since their tribal status was restored in the 1980s. It gave the Coquille tribe something, too. Darren Jarnigan, a Hoopa Indian who serves as the Coquille's Director of Natural Resources, explains as we drive towards the tribal forest west of Roseburg.
For the Coquille tribe, the law allowed the tribe to seek management according to their own vision. Previously, the tribe managed under the Northwest Forest Plan since its inception.
That plan has been in effect since 1994. While federal forest policies have their part in conservation efforts, Jarnigan says being allowed to self-manage recognizes the Coquille's sovereignty and addresses issues unique to the tribe. Unlocking the gate to the 5,400-acre Coquille forest, he explains what those are.
Speaking just for the Coquille tribe, the tribe wants to make sure that members have access to historically what was here on the landscape for tribal purposes. The wildlife, the plant communities, the bear grasses, the hazels, the camas, plants that the tribal members come and use and expect to be here when we're done managing the landscape.
About 4 hours drive north, Michael Wilson, Natural Resources Manager for the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, visits parts of the roughly 14,000 acres under tribal management northwest of Salem.
Yeah, these trees over here are probably a good 70 years old. Back over here are some of those ones we saw down by the stream bank, 90 years old, down to these. I think these are probably 3 years old.
Wilson says compared to forest land managed by timber companies, tribal forests tend to have more diversity in their trees and plants, which includes huckleberries and hazel, traditional food and basket weaving materials, respectively. Trees are thinned to accommodate foraging areas for elk and deer. Brush is cut by hand instead of using aerial herbicides, and prescribed burns control slash and enable certain growth that benefit the ecosystem. Driving by forest land that borders the reservation, Wilson points to a ridge that's been clear-cut by a timber company. He says there's profit potential in many old-growth forests both on and off the reservation.
You know, $350, $500, depending on which tree. Some of the bigger ones, $800. If you start adding those up, that's a lot of dollars. But if you look at, you know, what we're doing over the long stretch, maybe it won't ever pencil out as far as a good financial decision. But as far as providing habitat and long-term health of the tribe's reservation, we're definitely doing the right thing.
Right enough to get recognition, says Don Motanik of the Intertribal Timber Council based in Portland. He says independent 10-year assessments of tribal forests compared to federal forests have highlighted two major differences to Congress.
One is that tribal forestry programs function at one-third of the cost as compared to the Forest Service. It's $9 an acre for the Forest Service and $3 an acre for tribes. Second key point they make is that tribes are models of sustainability because some of the programs have been in existence over 100 years.
And a 2009 study by the Property and Environment Research Center, or PERC, compared timber returns between the Lolo National Forest and the Flathead Indian Reservation in Montana. PERC's finding was that over a 7-year period, tribal timber revenues exceeded $16 million, nearly 7 times more than that managed by the U.S. Forest Service.
The key thing is knowing their own land and understanding their language.
Motanik says unlike timber companies, tribes don't up and move once an area has been harvested. The land is part of the tribe and its culture and is managed for the sustenance and appreciation of future generations, not solely for the bottom line. Familiar challenges exist. Invasive species, diseases, and climate change threaten tribal forests as any other. Helena Linnell, the Coquille Tribe's biological and planning operations manager, says wildfires are especially worrisome.
They seem to be lasting longer. They don't stick to their traditional time frames. We're starting to see, at least here on the coast, the rain shifting later in the year. That makes a difference.
Partnerships are budding. Last July, the Forest Service formalized a plan with tribes near the California-Oregon border for managing the Klamath region. Controlled burns will help remove fuels and kill pests like weevils while allowing new shoots of hazel to grow. And legislatively, tribes have never been in a better place. Besides the Western Oregon Tribal Fairness Act, the latest farm bill has tribe-friendly provisions, including one that will let tribes set up self-governance demonstration projects to manage federal lands adjacent to Indian reservations. For Coquille Natural Resources Director Darren Jarnigan, it'll all help share tribal perspectives.
Not only just the present economic return, but thinking about what the forest is going to be for the generations to come and leaving something better than you found it, so to speak.
Brian Bull, KLCC News in the Coquille Forest.